I don't know if you're like me, but when I go to a restaurant with others, I always find it very difficult to know what to choose. What shall we eat? And you're sitting around waiting for other people to make their choices because they seem to have more knowledge than you do. And some will look at the menu and they will look at it and they will check out to see what courses will complement each other. I don't go that far, but some people check out their wine to see which will go best with what's around. I don't do that either. And others will go straight to the dessert menu. Who goes to the dessert menu? That's the way it is, isn't it? And you'll make sure that you don't have too much before, so you get the dessert in. So you go straight for the pudding. Well, I think that's an interesting illustration, and it's one that I want to just bring to the fore now. Because today we're going to begin with the pudding menu in the reading, particularly from Colossians. This whole Sunday is given over to the importance of God's Word, Holy Scripture, and what it means to us. And it's not this bit of paper, it's the words in the book that are important. Because I know many people who've got Bibles, and I go and visit people who've got Bibles, but they don't actually come off the shelf. And they'd be used for all sorts of interesting things, like keeping the door open or something. But actually, the Word of God is really important. So today is about thanking God for His Word, which speaks to us into our lives in extraordinary ways every day. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. So we're going to begin with the pudding. To seek that which edifies and builds us up and fills us up. And in this way, we're going to, of course, just cross-check to the first few verses in Colossians that we first have read to see how we get to the pudding. But we're going to start with the pudding. I want you to imagine the early church. So there was no beautiful buildings like these. They met in each other's homes. And I want you to imagine what worship would have looked like for them. What sort of thing would they have been doing during that time? Well, in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he kind of points out what they were meant to be doing. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." So, singing to one another, thinking about the wisdom of God, praying for each other, and singing psalms and hymns to one another. That's, of course, what we do, but I don't think it would have been quite as structured. And you can imagine that Peter and John and some of the others, as they met in those first days after the ascension of our Lord, they would gather together with other disciples, and they'd say, "I was with Jesus on that day when he went, and he ministered to someone who was sick. The person who was on the roadside and who was blind, and he brought healing to that person." And they would have told these stories with great excitement and joy. And you can imagine that would then lead to some kind of singing, because they wanted to praise God that, you know, this isn't just a story about Jesus. They were there. And so, you know, in our worship, there has to be that kind of energy and excitement and belief and understanding that we're coming out of, you know, we're coming out of the Gospels and all that Jesus was and all that Jesus did. And sometimes we do have testimonies and stories here, and that's really good. This is what I call the pudding moment. This is the bit, this is the wonderful part of all that Jesus did. And we sing songs of worship and praise to him. And we pray to him because we thank him for all that he has done. So the miracles, his love for and compassion for the poor and the sick, his death on the cross, the resurrection, they were there. They were there, you see. And of course, his ascension. And we have all this in common. We weren't there on that day, but we have something very precious that's been given to us. In fact, two wonderful things. The very presence of God in here and his word, which will feed us. Those are the most important things as Christians that we need to work from. We need to have his spirit within us and be refreshed day in and day out, that we can be built up in the likeness of Christ and have the energy, his energy, to do his works in his time. and then to find ways of coming to grips with some of the things that Jesus said. And of course, things in the Old Testament too. We were reading about in the book of Nehemiah. And after they refound scripture, they wanted to read it. And did you notice what they did when they started reading? They all stood up. We sit down, they stood up. Because they referenced the word that was so precious to them. And that's what we need to be able to come to that place for ourselves. And as we delve into what Jesus said and what God gave the apostles to say in the letters to the Colossians and many others, Paul wrote loads of letters. You want to have a read of them, they're really good. I mean, really do get stuck into these letters and let God speak to you from them. Then it's not just wisdom for the present time, but it's feeding for the soul. We need all that kind of equipment to get by in this life that we live. And so Paul gives us all kinds of interesting instructions, apart from singing songs to each other, which we might do in a moment, perhaps. We'll do a bit of that. But first of all, he starts with, and the whole letter actually talks about the supremacy of Christ. And if Jesus Christ is supreme in all things, then we want to bring all things to him. And one of the most important things that we can sense about God being present with us is the fullness of his peace. The fullness of his peace. When the Salvation Army were setting out on their amazing ministry in many of the towns and cities in our country and other countries too, on one occasion they came across someone called Warrior Brown. And it was a woman who at this point was not a believer at all. In fact, she used to like a drink or two and used to get very violent. And she'd get violent with both those who were preaching, but anyone who was around, she'd just get very violent. Well, anyway, she eventually came to meet with Jesus. The preaching touched her heart and she was changed. And the very next time she went out with the Salvation Army, which is what they had to do, she was to give her testimony about the truth that God was present in her life. And she began to speak and spoke of how God had softened her heart. Well, there was a man in the crowd who thought he'd put her off, and he picked up a potato that he had in his pocket and he threw it at her. Well, all the other Salvation Army captains were just looking at Warrior Brown to see how she might respond to this, because in times past she'd have thrown him back and more, and a bit of language besides. Well, she didn't. She simply rubbed her arm because it bruised. At that distance and speed, it was hurting somewhat. She picked up the potato and put it in her pocket and went away. And then a few months later, when it was harvest time, they were, I think, in the same town, and they'd gone to worship. And she brought her offering. We do, we bring these days tins of food, but anyway, she brought a sack of potatoes. And do you know what? She offered it because what she did with that potato that was thrown at her, she cut it up, all the eyes, planted it in the ground, and there was a harvest. And she offered it to the Lord. And the reason she was able to respond in that particular way is the peace of Christ ruled in her heart. She wasn't going to let this person put her off her stride in her walk with God. And in this sense, knowing the presence and the peace of God in your life is knowing how to respond when things aren't going so well in your life. And knowing the sense of God's peace during those times when you have to make difficult decisions. Someone said, you need this to happen. Let peace within you be like an umpire in the conflicts of life, so you respond in the right way to certain circumstances. And it comes to us all. We all get, a bit irate, even with each other, here, in our families, and in the world. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And then let's see what God will do with that response, your response. Secondly, as I alluded to earlier, we need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that takes a conscious effort. You need to spend some time in his presence and allow him to reveal his word to you in your life. So we've had three wonderful passages today. I wonder what word spoke to you today. And maybe that's the word you need to take away with you for the rest of this week and dwell on it. Because as you dwell on his word, so he begins to take his rightful place in your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That takes a conscious effort. So do read it each and every day. We say this often here. Use the various things that are available. I see somebody put on a new issue of, I think this is the new issue for Word for Today, UCB. There are copies of this. Just a little bite-sized bit of scripture, a comment and a prayer, set you on your road each day. You can get it on your phone as well. But if you want a book, there's a half dozen at the back, actually. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he will show you how to tackle things that come across in this life. And the third thing that Paul said, he talked about the fullness of life. The fullness of life. What does that mean? Jesus promised that we would be able to live our life in abundance. This wasn't material abundance, but this was spiritual, something spiritual. So we find within our soul a place where we become content in the life in which we live. That's knowing the fullness of God. His joy, his love, his peace, his presence. All those things are possible in Christ. And I need it, and I presume that you do too. And then, it says, then you will sing songs, hymns to one another. And then you will know what it is to give gratitude to in your hearts to Almighty God. And he concludes, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Every single thing. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. That's why we need to think about, before we get to the pudding, we need to clothe ourselves with something of God, all of God, and then we live our life in and through him and with him. That is a wonderful place to live.